Now, with a musical tribute to Jeremy Lin, ladies and gentlemen, Pearl Jam.
This is AM 1230 WFAS. I'm Roy G here with Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's second opinion. And hello, good morning. How's it going, Bruce? How you doing, buddy?
That's not Bruce.
Can you tell my voice is a little voice a little off today?
No, I can't tell because my voice is always off.
I need more snare in my headphones.
You definitely need more snare in your headphones, or you need
there it is.
Need some hot coffee or something. Hey, it's gonna be a great day today. We got a lot of stuff going on. The NBA weekend, you know, what's really great about NBA weekend is you can get up at like
nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Well, it wasn't anything good about the slam dunk competition last night, but you can get up literally at 9 o'clock in the morning and there's no NBA information whatsoever on because they're all up until about 7 a.m. anyway. It's the biggest party in the world. When they had the NBA All-Star game in Washington, D.C. Yeah. a few years ago, I had a hotel room downtown because I was going through some tickets for that game. And I got to tell you, it was a constant party, constantly somebody knocking on my door in the middle. I mean, I don't think I slept for 2 days. And I had nothing but, you know, legal things to keep me awake. I had coffee. I had, you know, Diet Cokes. I had a hot shower.
Make sure it's Diet Coke.
Diet
none of that,
Coke.
None
yeah.
Of that, none of that
you don't
stuff.
Want, well, that stuff will knock you out.
We don't want the full Coke.
Hey, you're listening. This is Bruce. That's Roy. I'm looking forward to today. We're going to talk about a lot of basketball today. We're going to talk in the first segment. We're going to talk about the NBA and what's going on with it. We're going to talk about what to expect the second quote unquote half of the season in the NBA. We're going to talk about Jeremy Lin a little bit, the futures game, the way some people are, handling Jeremy Lin. We're kind of, a lot of these players at the All-Star game are coming out and they're kind of showing their hand, what kind of people they are. If they're not supporting the guy, well, they're just haters pretty much. And if they're supporting the guy, they're getting a vote from me. And I really like what I read about Kobe. Of course, you pointed out to me that when they asked Kobe about Jeremy Lin
in the beginning,
They played him, before he got 38 on him, and before, he had, 10 assists or whatever. Before that happened, Kobe went,
I don't even know
who this guy is.
Yeah. Which is rightfully
so. Well, he was just being honest.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was an honest answer. And
it's hard being Kobe Bryant.
It is hard being Kobe Bryant.
Really hard being Kobe Bryant a couple of years
Jeremy
ago.
Jeremy Lin really wasn't a known guy. And Kobe Bryant, how much ESPN or sports talk radio do you think he really listens to or anything like that? I mean, the guy was outplaying. I mean, I think it was Jeremy's second he had only played like two or three games at this point, so it was still relatively new in the NBA.
Somebody just came out. I'm trying to think who it was. I want to say I read it in the Daily News today or yesterday, but if somebody came out and said, hey, you know what? If I'm owning a team and I got somebody that missed this guy, I'm firing somebody. And I can't remember who it was. And it has to be somebody that's not playing anymore. It's a former player. That sounds like something that Charles Barkley would say.
Yeah, Charles.
But it wasn't Charles, but it was Chuck. Somebody like Chuck. Hey, listen, go to my Facebook page, Bruce Hall Sports.
Now you can
it's actually facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports. Go to Bruce Hall. Tell all your friends that if you're listening to this show and you know me and you know Roy or you know a combination of me and Roy, you can go to brucehallsports.com and hear this show live on your computer. You can also go to your website, Roy, yeah. Right? What's yeah. your website?
You go to sportsmancave.com where you can listen live there. We're also on TuneIn Radio, so if you guys want to go for a nice yog, I believe it's yogging.
Who's yogging today?
It's a new fad.
Yeah,
it's yogging.
Hey, I was out in that cold. It was 38 degrees and the wind was blowing 30 miles an hour last night. We had a scrimmage. Also, we're going to be taking calls later today. We may take calls, I would say, kind of like on the back 10 minutes of this hour. The number that you want to call, if you want to call in and ask us a question or just kind of scream at us about anything, because we love that.
This is our first show actually taking calls.
Yeah, we haven't taken calls.
Us. Because we did take calls to the studio in New York.
But these are going to come directly to Roy and I. Yeah. The number you call is 760-705-8888. Infinity.
Linfinity.
Sideways. Yep. And this is Bruce. That's Roy. Roy, let's talk about the Eastern Conference for a second.
Okay.
The NBA, you know, Roy's got me rolling. You know, I gotta say what I did. I started watching a lot of basketball the last 2 weeks. Now I realize why I was hooked and I had season tickets for the Bullets for so many years. And I sat in section 101, row K, right literally to the left of the Bullets bench. And they were the best seats in there. And back when I used to buy them, they were like 35, 40 bucks a piece. Then they went to 60. Then they went to 65. Then they went to 75. I think it's $1.50 seat now. It's $150.
Oh.
And you want to know why people...
I thought you actually meant $1.50.
No.
I was like...
$1.50 for guys
I
that...
I missed that one.
For
that
guys
one
that buy
right
and sell tickets, $1 is $100. For people that actually wager dollars, a dime is $1,000. A dollar is $100. A nickel is $500. Somebody says, hey, I'll bet you a nickel on this. Don't think he's... gonna bet you 5 cents. Nobody's gonna do that.
Well,
I'm Bruce Hall. That's Roy G.
I'd probably bet 5 cents on
hey,
that.
Listen, the Philadelphia the Sixers are in first place in the Atlantic Division of the Eastern Conference. Doug Collins is a great coach. You know, everywhere Doug Collins has gone, he's done real well. He looks exactly the same as he used to, except his hair's getting a little thinner and grayer. He's still in great shape. Their conference record's 15-5. At home, they're 13-6. On the road, they're 7-8. That's pretty typical of a above average team in the NBA. I don't see anybody really knocking them out of that spot except the Knicks.
Yeah,
I don't see Boston doing it.
No, Boston's old. They're on the downside. But I mean, look, the Knicks are hot. Philadelphia's 3-7.
They're just going to get better too.
Philadelphia has been on the downside as of late. They're 3-7 in their last 10, and the All-Star break couldn't have come sooner for these guys.
Oh, they needed to get well.
And New York, I mean, with the Linsanity playing, Carmelo's back, Amari's playing good.
Hey, they may end up with Howard.
I mean, you can. Well,
he would fit right into that group.
I like Tyson Chandler and I like Amari. I don't know if you give up those two guys for Dwight Howard. I mean, Dwight Howard.
I don't think you'd give them both up.
Dwight Howard is great. He's a great center. He's
right.
The best center in the game right now. He plays defense, which. You know, the Knicks caught a lot of crap for not playing defense, so well, that bringing him in, that's a big fix right there.
There's two guys we know they're not getting rid of. They're
Jeremy
not getting
Lin
rid of
Melo.
Yeah, exactly. Those two are staying. And you know what? Everything I read basically said everything is pretty much on the table except those two guys. Now, that was, you know, people's opinions, and I understand that. Mm. But I think the Knicks, what are they? They're in seventh position right now for the playoffs, right? And I think that's just going to get better. You know, they're a half a game ahead of Boston Celtics. I don't see Doc Rivers getting those guys much better. Do you?
Well, they're old. I mean,
they're real old, but
that also means they're experienced. So I wouldn't count the Celtics out completely. Just based on they've been there, they've been in the playoffs, they've played together, they have a lot of chemistry there. They still have a really good shooter in Ray Allen. They still have the original big three. So, I mean, they're a good basketball team, but they're getting older. They can't keep up with these run-and-gun teams. I mean, the Heat out of the East is, I mean, that's the team to beat. I mean, nobody's beating the Heat right now.
Now the New Jersey Nets are owned by that Russian dude, right?
Yeah, and Jay-Z.
Let me tell you something. That guy is a wild man. Did you see the rap, the Russian rap on TV? It was unbelievable.
He's taking pictures like holding AK-47s.
He is. Yeah, but let me tell you something about this guy. Hey, he owns half of Brooklyn, right? And if he doesn't, he will eventually. Because, I mean, this guy is a very...
Someday, this guy will buy Brooklyn.
Well, you know what?
Well, he's moving the team to Brooklyn.
That's... Well, here's what I like about Howard. There's talk Howard might end up there because of Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Now, that would create a very interesting situation. That would bring the NBA full force back on both sides. Both sides of the bridge.
I mean, I see the Nets.
Think about all of the restaurants between the Garden and between where they're building the new facility in Brooklyn that would be full every night that either of those teams have a game. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy Edwards, Roy G. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports. Guys, got to send me messages. Let me know what's going on. You can call 760-705-8888. We're going to start taking calls probably in about as soon as we break. You can start calling. We'll line you guys up at 760-705-8888. We're talking NBA All-Star Weekend here. Roy.
Yeah.
If you could be at the NBA All-Star game right now, would you be there?
What I mean, where am I sitting?
Well, you'd have
it's very
to,
important.
Roy, you'd have to buy a seat.
I gotta buy a seat? No, I'm not paying to see that.
How about if you had a press pass, would you be there?
Of course. Yes. Now, I would. I mean,
we need to make sure we do that next year.
The All-Star games are.
I think the Knicks are. They're just going to get better.
I'm not really big on All-Star games. I agree with you that the Knicks are going to get better.
Now you like D'Antoni, right?
Yeah, I like him a lot.
I do too. I like his offense.
When he was in that is why this whole insanity has come about, because D'Antoni, that's his system. His system is very point guard oriented. It's very attack the basket, dish off, pick and roll. It's a great offense. Not many teams run it. Because not many teams have a good point guard. I mean, there are point guards out there who would be able to run the system. CP3 would be able to do it. Williams, who lit up the Knicks about a week ago?
Right.
I mean, there are some very good point guards out there who could run the system, but, I mean, Jeremy Lin's been in the system since high school. That's what he ran. He ran the pick and roll. When he went to college, he ran the pick and roll. He ran the two guard a little bit in college, but... It works because he's very familiar with the system, and this is a D'Antoni system that he ran in Phoenix.
Right, and they were very successful.
They were very, very, very good.
Well, bringing up the rear,
and he had Steve Nash when he was in Phoenix.
Steve Nash still playing ball there.
Yeah, in this system, Steve Nash was MVP of the league. So it's
that's a team that's gotten old.
Yeah, they've got
some youth there, but I mean, Grant Hill's still playing.
I mean,
Hill went to South Lakes High School in Ruston, Virginia.
Grant Hill.
I mean, Grant Hill's 40 years old. It's hard to believe he's 40 years old.
Okay,
hey, Toronto and New Jersey. I see New Jersey getting better. Toronto, I'm not too sure about.
Toronto's
I really,
terrible.
You know, Dwayne Casey's got his hands full up there. They're going nowhere this year in the Central Division. Chicago Bulls, buddy, they're strong.
They're good. They got a man named Derrick Rose. I don't know if you've heard of him.
But, yeah, he's not bad. He played 1 year in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Thibodeau's doing a pretty good job up there just trying to keep the asylum members happy. Conference. Their conference record's 19-6 or 27-8. At home, they're 13-2. And they're 14-6 on the road. This is a very good basketball team.
They are very good.
And they're going to be around. They could very well be around at the end. I think they'll make it probably to the finals of the division.
Conference.
Yeah, I see that happening.
So you say Bulls Heat?
I think it's definitely going to be Bulls Heat. I don't see any other way around it. Orlando, you know, it depends on what they do.
Well, I mean,
they've got too many changes to make once they get rid of the big man. And they are getting rid of the big man.
Yeah, at this point, it's pretty much a done deal. Yeah, I mean, they don't know where he's going, but with all these kind of talks, you know, you got to think that there's some spoiled milk in there.
You know, Indianapolis.
That's a good line, right?
Indianapolis is 21-12. Their conference record's 15-9. At home, they're 10-4. On the road, they're 11-8. They have kind of quietly snuck in there to be a pretty competitive team.
Orlando?
Yeah. No, Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
Frank.
The Pacers.
Yeah, you got to act. Yeah, Indianapolis.
Indiana
Pacers.
India.
Yep.
The country.
Hey, Matt, how you doing, buddy? Anyway,
the Pacers are good, man. They're a good young team.
Yeah, they are.
I like the Pacers.
Frank Vogel's done a great job with them. Cleveland is better than last year. Byron Scott's got them winning a few more games, but they're done.
I mean, they got Kyrie Irving, and that's pretty much
he's
it.
He's the man. MVP of the Futures game
the
other night. Milwaukee's 13-20. Scott Skiles, we were talking about this before. He will have a job probably forever because people just like the guy. But Milwaukee's going nowhere. Detroit's really not going anywhere. They're 11-24.
Awful.
When we get back here in a minute, we'll do more NBA. You can give us a call at 760-705-8888.
We got some NFL Combine coming up, too.
Now, listen, if you don't want to go on the air, you can leave messages during the show as well. Whatever you want us to talk about, give us a call. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G. We'll be back in a minute.
One by one, hitting up my sleeve.
Back it in. Look, right? There it is. And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking NBA. We're talking NBA All-Star Weekend. We'll get into NFL Combine here in a little bit. But right now we are covering the the NBA All-Star Weekend, which I thought was pretty boring. I don't know what you guys thought out there, but I thought it was pretty boring.
Hey, Roy, before we get into the Southeast and the rest of these teams in the NBA. Why don't you tell them about the slam dunk competition that you were so raving about last night?
It was terrible.
I wouldn't even put that on Roy on his worst day. I would never do that.
I mean, it looked like all they were doing was jumping over people, which is cool. I mean, it was cool when Chase Buttinger did it. He jumped over Puff Daddy. That was cool. And then
I like it when they jump over cars.
And then the guy who won, Evans,
for cornerbacks.
He had a two-handed dunk, which was really cool. The dude sitting in the chair threw up two balls and he dunked both balls. That was awesome. That was really cool. But then he jumped over Kevin Hart, who's like 5'1", and that's not impressive to me.
I mean, all I knew at the time was I was doing a lot of stuff last night, and I didn't have the game on. I was watching a college game last night. I mean, I watched a bunch of college ball yesterday, and there were some great college games, by the way. And we're going to be talking about NCAA basketball probably on the second half of the show. And there were some, and we're going to talk about who's going to make, you know, the 68 and who's not. It's 68, right? It's not 64 anymore. I think it's 68 teams are going. And it's gonna be pretty exciting trying to figure out who all those teams are. And Roy, I got to give it to you. And we're not gonna talk about it yet. But your West Virginia Mountaineers are probably gonna make it.
Yeah, of course.
I sure hope they do. Listen,
I say of course like it's a done deal. It's not of course yet. I mean,
well, here's my
we gotta win two more.
Well, they will. Southeast. The Southeast Division in the Eastern Conference, Miami Heat, 27-7. No surprises there. They're 21-4 in the conference. They're 6-2 in the division. They're 15-2 at home. They're 12-5 on the road, and they're 9-1 their last 10. Miami's going to be in the finals. If they're not in the finals, what's going to happen there? You know, something. You know,
well,
I mean, somebody's going to get fired, and I'm guessing it's that kid that coaches them. Who is that kid, Eric Spoelstra? What's the deal with this
he's
guy?
He's not really respected.
You know, you think? I mean, I'm guessing that they don't need a lot of coaching, but they probably do need somebody. And I'm guessing they need somebody a little older, maybe a little bit better off, but maybe they didn't want anybody like that. Orlando's in second place. Stan Van Gundy, you got to like Stan. I mean, Stan does a good job, likes to scream and holler. He's 22-13. They're 16-9 in the conference. They're 5-3 in the division.
He caught a lot of heat from Shaquille O'Neal saying that he couldn't win the playoffs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Stan Van Gundy is a I mean, he's a good coach. He is. And he's out Orlando.
He's one of the boys.
He's had Orlando in the right position, but, I mean, he hasn't won anything.
He's so. One of those guys that's always going to have a job. You know,
maybe.
He will.
He could get fired from Orlando for not being that guy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he'll get hired by somebody else. I mean, that's just the way NFL is. That's the way the NBA is. Certain guys that are locked in like they're members of an underground organization.
He'll go somewhere. I mean, it would probably be a crap team.
They're 7-3 their last 10. They've been playing all right, even with knowing Howard's gone.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good basketball team. I mean, J.J. Redick plays for them, but, I mean, they're a good basketball team.
Now, let me ask you a question. Atlanta, what's the deal with them? Do you ever get a chance to watch them much?
I honestly have not seen
them. They're 20-14. Larry Drew has them winning. They're 16-8 in the conference. They're 5-3 in the division. They're 12-6 at home. They're 10-7 on the road. I mean, their home and road record. Now, in the NFL, what do we think about a team that's the same at home and on the road? We think they're pretty good.
Yeah.
We think they're a veteran team. We think that they play hard, and I think they're well coached. I think Larry Drew is doing a hell of a job with these guys. They're going to be in the playoffs. There's no question about it. But they're 4-6 their last 10. Now we can talk about the second worst team in the league. Your Washington Wizards, Roy.
I don't think they're the second worst team in the league.
No, I don't.
I think Charlotte's obviously the worst team in the league.
Right.
Who is run by who? Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan.
Is he running them or is he running away from them?
That's Michael Jordan. And it's mind blowing to me how I think he's the best player of all time. I think he's the best player of all time. The numbers he put up are.
I'm an Elgin Baylor guy.
The numbers he put up are ridiculous. He was an all around great player, but he's terrible in the front office. He can't find talent worth a darn.
Well, I mean, they ran him out of D.C. I mean, the nicest guy in the world was Abe. Wouldn't you agree? Abe Pollin's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was ever guilty of anything, Abe Pollin, it was being too nice. He was so nice, he kept Wes Unseld and Susan O'Malley around for like 15, 20 years. They were horrible at what they did. Horrible, but they were like his adopted kids. Michael Jordan, he had no problem getting rid of him. I have no idea how.
Well, he drafted Kwame Brown with the first overall pick. That's
Kwame Brown and his tiny hands.
Kwame Brown,
he couldn't palm a basketball.
He was terrible.
He was 7 feet tall.
And then Jordan goes to Charlotte, who is obviously the worst team in the league now, and brings Kwame with him.
Kwame, right? Well, you know what? In the division, they have yet to win a game. They're 0-8 in the division. They're 2-12 at home. And they're 2-16 on the road. They've won one game in their last 10 games. Charlotte, Paul Silas must just be pulling out what Harry's got left on his head out of his head. Paul Silas is a pretty good coach, by the way. He must have zero talent. I mean, wouldn't you agree? Who do they have? I don't even know who they have. Hey, if you know who the starting two guard is for the Charlotte, what do they call themselves?
Bobcats.
Bobcats. Because the Hornets are in New Orleans.
And Kwame Brown's he's not with the Bobcats anymore. But but Jordan brought him over when
he plays for some minor league team somewhere.
No, he plays for Golden State. He actually got a big contract this year, a 1 year like $7 million deal or something ridiculous.
How does that work?
You're just tall. If you're a tall person, you get
7 feet. Yeah, he's 7 feet tall, and he got drafted when he was 17, 18 years old.
Yes, one year, $7 million contract with Golden State. That's ridiculous.
There's a kid that needed to go to college for 4 years too.
But yeah, he signed a 1 year deal with the Bobcats. And was reunited with Michael Jordan. I was like, Jordan, what are you doing, man? And how does this hurt Jordan's legacy?
He doesn't have much of a legacy as an owner slash GM.
Yeah, but how does this hurt Michael Jordan, the brand?
It can't hurt him too bad because I keep looking on TV and seeing him doing underwear commercials and stuff.
Well,
the guy's still making a ton of money, and I know Phil Knight is still selling his shoe, right?
I think Jordan.
Doesn't he have two shoes?
Jordan?
He's got the Michael Jordan like flip flop and the Michael Jordan like high top.
Jordan has a billion shoes. He's got the Jumpman brand. I mean, he comes out with a new shoe every month.
He's got his own line. He's got his own. He's got his own line of golf equipment.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got Jumpman. Everything.
Well, he's got his.
Do you know who he is?
He's got his hand in
he's
way too many
Michael
things.
Michael Jordan.
He's got his hand
from Wilmington, North Carolina,
in way too many things.
Who didn't make the varsity as a sophomore? But as a junior and a senior, he lit it up so well that he ended up at the University of North Carolina. And who's the only guy to ever hold Michael Jordan under 20 points in a game?
I don't know.
Dean Smith, his coach at UNC. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy. And for all you older guys that know when, you know, we're around when Michael Jordan was a little skinny kid playing at the University. No, you didn't watch him playing.
Not at UNC.
Geez, son.
But I watched him. I watched him with the Bulls.
Yeah,
I mean, I watched him
with the Wizards.
I watched him in the 90s.
Hey, when I went to 30 home games when Michael Jordan was a Wizard. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of those games, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, he balled out.
Still, I remember him pinning some guy's shot up against the backboard with like 1 second left in the game. He won the game on a block. But then, you know, he crawled off the court. He was so hurt. I mean, you know, he played injured almost that whole year. And you know what?
Well, he played old that whole year.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't that old.
That's really what it was. I don't know. He's like 41.
No,
or
he wasn't.
Like
he was. No, he was 38.
No.
39?
He was like 40.
Well, I want you to find out how old he was because I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I'm Bruce Hall. I don't believe Roy Edwards. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can call 760-705-8888. We're going to take calls during this segment. You can leave messages during the show as well. Listen. Oh, here we go. I'm sitting here looking. My computer came back on. Nothing worse than forgetting you haven't plugged your computer in and understand that that you've lost tweet. Scott Jackson, I love this. Scott's a good friend of mine. I love Scott Jackson. Love RG3, but keep in mind, 40 times don't make great quarterbacks. Excuse me?
Well, they.
I like a quarterback that can throw it 80 yards and is smart and intelligent. And easy. Oh, by the way, going to be the guy we all want here in Washington. I hate to say it's Washington. So I'm done. I'm done with the Eastern Conference. Let's go to the Western Conference of the NBA. Oklahoma City. You and I both agree they're going to be in the finals.
Jordan was 40 when he played for the Wizards.
You were right. I'll be damned.
But you were kind of right too, though. He signed at 38 and played till 40.
Oh, I love it when I'm right. Oklahoma City.
Right.
They're 27 and 7. Hey, Scott Brooks has done a great
job. That's my team, man. Dude, I love OKC.
Hey,
how can you not like them? I love Durant.
How can you not like that team? 21 and 6 in the conference, 5-1 in the division. Their home record, Roy, is 15 and 1.
Everybody's been talking about LeBron James in the last couple of years, talking about how he's the greatest thing
Kevin
since
Durant,
Jordan,
baby.
Blah, blah, blah.
Local kid.
Kevin Durant is the closest thing to Jordan
that we've
seen. Yeah, he's great.
Yep. Wasn't he a Montrose Christian kid? He was. Played here in D.C., I'm pretty sure. Portland, number two. They're 18 and 16.
I think he played at Oak Hill.
No. He was. Check it out. Montrose Christian. He played for Stu Vetter. 13 and 12 in the conference. 3 and 2 in the division. 13 and 5 at home. 5 and 11 on the road. Portland doesn't like being on the road. Now, there's a team that has issues on the road. Maybe they stay out too late. 4-6, their last 10.
Yeah, he went to Oak Hill.
There, you know what?
God, I hate it when I'm right.
I hate it when you're right,
too. He went to both. He went to Montrose, too.
Hey, Denver, 18 and 17. They're 9 and 17 in the conference. Let me tell you something. Denver beats up on the East. They lose in the West. I don't think they're even going to make the playoffs. They're 3 and 7 their last 10 games. Mini, 17 and 7. They're 12 and 8 in the conference, 1 and 3. Rick Adelman's done a pretty good job. George Karl's in Denver still. I love George Karl.
How can you not like the guy who's beat cancer 3 times?
You know what I like about George Karl besides that and besides his guts? I like the fact that George Karl, for a University of North Carolina point guard, is a nice guy. Not many of those guys are. And I mean that, Carolina Blue. I'm an ABC guy, anybody but Carolina. Utah, I don't think so. I think Utah's 12-6 at home, 3-11 on the road. They're 10-14. They're not going to make the playoffs. In the Pacific Division, my favorite team, even though I love to watch Oklahoma City, I'm a Clipper guy.
They're Lob
11,
City.
Hey, they're 11-9 in the conference.
They're good.
12-4 at home, 8-7 on the road. Yeah, they're going to be there for sure. Mike Brown.
CP3, Blake
What's
Griffin.
Going on with the Lakers?
That's Lob City.
You know more about the Lakers than I do, Roy. What's going on with
them? I mean, they got all kinds of locker room problems. The Pau Gasol trade rumors are going around, and Pau Gasol is a very sensitive person. Okay, he's the kind of guy who cries during the notebook. Okay, and to say that you're going to trade this guy, you can't just tell everyone.
Did they hurt his feelings?
Yeah, he hurt his feelings. They held a players only meeting earlier this week, and were like,
doesn't he have a brother?
Yeah, he plays for I don't remember
somebody. Hey, Golden State. Let me ask you this. What's the deal with Kobe during all this? Everything I read about, nobody ever asks.
He plays for the Grizzlies.
Nobody ever asks Mike Brown anything. They always ask Kobe.
Well, Mike Brown is a nobody in L.A., really. I mean, the guy...
Cleveland.
It's his first year there. It's Kobe's team.
Yes.
I mean, the Lakers are Kobe. Their Lakers are Kobe Bryant, and they have started to... I don't know if they're trying to rebuild or what is going on in L.A., but they're not the Lakers that we've seen. They're still a good basketball team. You know, I mean, Pau Gasol is a good basketball player. Kobe Bryant, when he's on, he's one of the best.
He's still one of the top three or four players in the league.
Yeah, I mean, the dude scores. That's what he's the...
He plays defense, too. Yeah. He used to really play good defense.
He's the leading scorer in the league right now. He's averaging 28.4 points a game. He's got almost 1,000 points in the season. I mean, the dude is a beast.
He's going to light it up tonight. You know that. Phoenix, 14-20. Ain't going to make it. Sorry. You know, that's Alvin Gentry. He's done a pretty good job. Keith Smart. For those of you who don't know who Keith Smart is, he's the guy that buried the jumper from the corner for Indiana several years ago to win Bob Knight his last NCAA championship. I wish he hadn't done that because I'm not a big Bob Knight fan. Really not his son's fan this week either.
You like Bob Knight?
Hey, look, the number you need to call, 760-705-8888. That's 760-705-8888. You can leave messages also if you want to. Now we're on the Southwest Conference. San Antonio. This is the hot... This maybe the hottest team in the league right now. 24-10.
But yeah.
24-10. They're 18-8 in the conference, 8-3 in the division, 13-1 at home, 11-9 on the road. They've won 9 out of their last 10 regular season games. They'll be there. They'll probably be in the finals. They'll definitely get deep into the playoffs.
You think they're going to be in the finals in the West? I don't know about that.
You know,
I think it's too old.
I like the Clippers. That's just me.
I don't think this team can hold up. I mean, look, I really like the Spurs. You know, I like the way that they play and all that. They're fourth overall in the league in points scored, which is not something you think about when you hear the Spurs. They're usually a defensive team, slow it down, play to their strength kind of team. That's what they've been. That's what we've seen. But this is a new Spurs team.
Well,
kinda.
I don't think Lakers are going to be there. I don't see the Lakers getting there.
I think it's OKC Lob City. That's what I think.
Right.
And Tony Parker. He's the reason why this team is
now,
the way it is right
now. How old is that dude? He's been married to some old chick for a long time.
He's old too.
Ava Longoria, is that still his wife, or did they get divorced? I think they're divorced.
I think they got divorced.
Oh, they got divorced. That's good news. Of course, I don't live in Hollywood, but I'm married. So
he's 29.
I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm married. And you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. I'm talking to my favorite guy, Roy Edwards here, and we're going over NBA stuff, and Roy's so happy to be talking basketball.
I am happy to be
talking. He is happy. You know, we were talking, and I'm hooked now. I'm just, you know, now you're going to have to listen to all of my opinions about everything going on in the league, because I'm watching NBA Channel. I'm watching all the TiVo'd games that are the top games of the night. You know, let's look. Sacramento's definitely done. Phoenix is done. San Antonio, we said, is definitely going to be there. Dallas. Mark Cuban.
Yep.
I love Mark Cuban. I love his show.
I like Mark Cuban.
Watched his show?
The Shark Tank.
Oh, good, yeah. Great show.
It's pretty good.
Getting some great. Hey, it's going to be around for a while, it looks like.
It was so dumb. I was watching it. I've only seen it like twice. It's an okay show.
Compared to all the other lousy shows that are on.
There's a lot of bad TV on that.
Hey, Rick Carlisle, him and the Dallas Mavs, 21-13. Mm-hmm. They're 15-9 in the conference. They're 13-6 at home. And they're 8-7 on the road, 7-3 their last 10. They're going to be there. I don't see Denver. I don't see Portland. I don't see Minnesota. I don't see any of the teams in the Northwest division except Oklahoma City.
Portland lost Greg Oden again. I feel like that's a yearly story now. It's like, hey, did Greg Oden blow his knee out yet?
Well,
what's going on with that?
Hey, he looked
How long is it going to take for that to happen this year?
He looked like Robert Parrish when he got drafted. He looked 45, 50 years old when he was 22.
I really feel bad for him, man. I mean, if it happens, you know, at this point, you can't even say, like, Portland, what are you doing? It's just
bad genetics. It's bad genes. If you got bad genes, you got bad genes.
Poor guy, man.
He can't heal. He can't heal properly.
I feel so
bad. It's a microfracture injury, isn't it? It's another microfracture.
His body's too big for him. That's all.
Hey, Kevin McHale, who's coaching now and is coaching Houston, They're 20-14. How the heck did that happen? They're 14-4 at home. They're 7-3 their last 10 games. They're kind of a bubble team. Now, Memphis, the Grizzlies, made a lot of noise last year. I happened to be in Memphis during the playoffs last year. That was maybe the most exciting NBA playoff game I've ever been at in Memphis's forum where they play. Mm-hmm. It's an unbelievable place right in the middle of downtown, one block off Beale Street. And right now, Memphis is 19-15. They've won 19 games. They're 13-5 at home, 6-10 on the road. You know, you're gonna have to. I would say right now that Memphis might end up being the 7th or 8th team in the playoffs. What do you think?
The West is really weak. So I think. I mean, it's top heavy. You know, I mean, sure, they have – there is – I mean, San Antonio, okay, you know.
There's only three teams in the West that haven't won at least 17 games, Roy.
Yeah, I think
Sacramento, they're Phoenix, weak. And Utah.
They're weak. They got OK City. They got
Clippers.
They got Lob City. And they got San Antonio.
And maybe Dallas.
And Dallas is okay. I mean
– That's the four right there.
But you look at the East. I mean, then the West is up for grabs. You look at the East, and it's – I mean, there's some big names. I mean, these are the stars. The stars play in the East. I mean, you look at the 76ers, they're a good basketball team. They're not even one of the top teams in
Indiana's got a good team.
I mean,
Miami's got a good team.
Bulls,
Orlando's going to come out
Miami,
fine.
Orlando, Atlanta, the Pacers, the Knicks.
Even the Knicks are making a run.
Even
the Knicks at 7th or 8th spot.
And then you look at a team who's not – then you look at the bad teams in the East, if you want to call them bad teams, like Boston. I mean, when Boston is a bad team, then
right.
That's a great conference. I mean – the West, Portland, I mean, come on now. Denver, yeah, they're okay. The Lakers, I mean, they're on the down and end. Paul Gasol is crying somewhere watching The Notebook eating ice cream. Golden State, I mean, I like Seth Curry.
Who's going to win the game tonight?
Which game? Oh, the All-Star game?
The Super Bowl, Roy, the Super Bowl.
See how much I care about the All-Star game.
You said you might not even watch it.
The East.
You better watch
it. I'll watch it, kind of.
I wonder what the line is. I bet the East is probably 2.5, 3-point favorites. That's got to be the line. If the West is favored, you got to take the East.
Well, it's
and I'm giving you guys out there that like to play with your next-door neighbor, maybe for a six-pack of beer or for dinner or whatever. I'm telling you, the East is they're going to win tonight.
The East are going to rock them.
Yeah.
Here's the starting five for the East. It's Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, Dwight Howard.
It's over.
Beast mode.
It's over.
Then you look at the West. Kevin Durant is a beast.
Blake Griffin
is good. Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul, Andrew Bynum. I mean, that's a good five, but I mean...
Then you go past that, though.
I mean, Andrew Bynum's good, but he's not... I mean, he's not Dwight Howard, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, LeBron James.
He's not a starting guy on the East.
Yeah, he wouldn't start for the East.
And no, that's for sure.
And then their bench, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, he's good. He's not great. He's good. Marc Gasol, you know, I mean, okay, so you got another Gasol brother. So
yeah, let me ask you a question. Is he sensitive too, like Powell?
Probably.
Is he?
They probably stay up all night.
No, no way. Those guys.
Crying.
Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, but the West has Kevin Love, who I love, and he won the three-point contest last night.
All right, real quick.
Kevin Love won the three-point contest.
All right, real quick, who do you think, we're going to make a projection here. Who's going to be the MVP of the Western Conference this year?
Kevin Durant.
Okay, without a doubt.
I didn't even have to think about that.
You know what? I totally agree. I watched him put up 51 last week. It was unbelievable. It was like they were down, I want to say 14 points in the fourth quarter, came back, tied it up in regulation, and ended up winning in overtime, and he got 51. And I want to say another guy on his – I'm trying to think.
Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook, their two-guard, mm-hmm. had 43 points.
He's a beast.
It was the most points scored by two players, I think, ever in the NBA. Pretty sure that's true.
I'm pretty sure I didn't make that up.
No. So. I think it's in the last several years because Wilt Chamberlain, of course, scored 100 in one game by himself. So he beat both of them. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm sitting next to Roy G. We're talking about the NBA All-Star Game. One of the things that you have to understand about when you go to a big event like this, and Orlando's got to be just sick right now. I mean, that is one big... All it is a tourist trap to begin with.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I don't understand why he's such in a hurry to get out of Orlando. I mean, basketball is a winter sport. So you want to move to, I mean, I understand.
You want to move to Brooklyn.
Right. That's, I understand.
I could see that.
I understand.
I could see New York.
Right. I understand wanting to go to New York.
I couldn't see Washington.
I get that. Okay. But what if they're not the Brooklyn Nets? What if they're the New Jersey Nets and you're playing in Jersey? It's not a big time city. It's not warm like Orlando. And Orlando has committed to building a team around you, giving you what you want. You've been to the postseason with them. You're sitting on a beach in when everyone
Howard's,
else is when it's 37 degrees out everywhere else.
How old is he? 27 years old? I mean, he's still a kid.
He's a kid.
He is a kid. And you know what he is? He's a monster.
He is.
I mean, this guy is so physically talented.
He's 26.
Yeah. He's so physically talented that wherever he goes, he can play anywhere.
He can do whatever he wants.
He can play the 3, 4, or 5, too. He's really a 3, sized like a 4, can dominate a 5. I mean, that's what this guy's like.
I think he's a true center. I think he's one of the only true centers left in the game.
Well, but my point is you can put him anywhere in the box, and he's going to be fine. And I'd love to see him come here, but he's not going to come here. Would you go to Washington if you had any kind of a chance? Who would we even have to give them?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Have anybody to give?
Yeah. I mean, the Washington Wizards, what a stupid name that is, by the way. Did you get a text?
This is off topic, but I did get a text. It says the Redskins are to give up their first, second, and third round picks this year and first round next year for RG3.
They've already made the deal?
It hasn't gone through yet, but
phenomenal.
It's been all over.
I have no idea NFL how they even have that much to give. What's Cleveland
Howard
going to do?
Howard Eskin, he's been tweeting in. I just got a text about it.
He has to.
That's a lot.
You know how big that is? But wait, according to Scott Jackson, it ain't a big deal running a 4.38 40, though. But you can get out of bounds without having anybody touch you if you run a 4.38. That's the key to that.
He's got a big arm, and I mean, we're getting a little off topic now, but
no, it's okay. That's big news.
RG3.
Hey, RG3. Are you kidding me? RG3. A lot of people, there's one way that they don't get RG3, right?
Well,
if that idiot in Indianapolis, no. Listen to what I'm telling you. What if that jerk in Indianapolis takes him first? Then we take Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, that would suck.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
That would be horrible.
They're gonna take Andrew.
I'm Bruce Hall.
Andrew Luck is going. He's going to Indianapolis.
Yes,
he's already bought a house.
Yes, he is.
He hasn't, but he has.
Yeah, and he's all. And you know what? the thing about, a lot of information. And we're off topic again because we were talking about the NBA All-Star Game. But we can do this because we're getting ready to go into a break. Let me tell you something that's great about this whole thing. Peyton Manning supposedly threw the ball a little bit this week and had a workout. Did you hear about it?
Apparently, he has a noodle arm.
No. He actually had.
That's what the summary was.
No. He actually did. He did really well.
I forget. Some guy was like, "I saw him throw." He's
that's
a noodle
according
arm.
To like, Robert Irsay.
What?
And how can you not believe Robert Irsay?
Yeah. Well, they said that the farthest he was throwing was like 28 yards or something like that.
That was three weeks ago, Roy.
Okay. Well. Okay.
Wake up, man. So, you got to read the paper.
I do read
the paper. No, you don't. Newspapers.
Newspapers exist.
Newspapers. 42 new tweets. Hey, I'm going to look on here real quick. Let me ask you a question. Who confirmed that for you?
Huh?
Who said that about RG3?
It was Howard Eskin.
There you go. Well, Howard knows. Howard's all over. Howard's all over the internet.
I mean, whatever. I honestly, I'm a Redskins fan.
Hey.
And that's great news and all that, but I don't know. RG3, cool. Bring him in. Just don't. I mean, we can't get any worse, right? So
no.
Whatever.
Well, hey, don't say
I'm almost,
that.
I'm almost numb hey, to whatever to the Redskins.
Hey, whatever you say, don't say we can't get worse. Because just when you think we can't, we can. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Roy.
This is, hey, we're going right into the NCAA.
This is AM 1230 WFAS New York. Welcome back.
Who do we do the credits for? Who's this on the air?
Huh?
What are they called? M83. Sounds like a bet. I buy B45s. Oh, I just gave a buddy of mine a free spot on this show in New York. B45 is a bat company, and they make birch bats. And all of the, I mean, this guy's biggest clientele for bats are all the pitchers in the major leagues.
Pitchers?
Yeah, because they need a good bat. Oh, and let me just tell you this.
Yeah.
If you're anywhere near Westchester County and the water over there, go to Augie's. Family Italian restaurant. Augie's has got the best food you'll ever eat. And what? When you don't eat much breakfast, and we're sitting here chowing on a couple of donuts and drinking coffee and having fun, when I talk about Augie's, now I get seriously hungry because Roy and I have both been there.
It's good.
Hey, you need to give us a call at 760-705-8888 and give us your sports moment of the week. Mm-hmm. Any sports moments you want. All you have to do is call. We're going to give you a $25 gift certificate from Augie's. That's 760-705-8888. Just let us know what you're thinking about. If you have a question, you can drop it. We'll get it right away, and we'll answer it as best we can. Roy, we're going to switch right now. We're going to go straight to the NCAA. Is that cool?
Yeah, I'm down.
Now, Roy and I got together this week for a pre-production meeting. Mm-hmm. Tell them who you took, Roy.
I took the Big East and the Big 12.
He took the Big East and the Big 12. Mm-hmm. I took the ACC and the SEC.
Yep.
You want to go first? You want to run them down?
You want me to smack you with the Big East and then...
Why don't you smack me with the Big East? I mean, it's not too hard to figure out who's number one in the Big East.
Syracuse.
Go ahead.
Syracuse. Syracuse is number two team overall in the country. They're in beast mode right now. They can play with anybody.
They won in overtime, right, last night?
They won in overtime.
Who'd they beat? UConn?
Yeah.
That was a great game. I saw the first half.
Which, it's UConn. That's a big rivalry.
It's a huge rivalry.
Between Syracuse and UConn. And Syracuse is going to the ACC. So that rivalry is gone. The Syracuse-Georgetown rivalry is going to be gone. The Pitt-West Virginia rivalry is going to be gone because Pitt's going to the ACC. West Virginia is going to the Big 12, which is why I picked the Big 12 and the Big East. Go figure, right?
second place there looks like Marquette.
They're a good basketball team, too.
Well, they're number 10 in the country.
They're good. They just beat up on West Virginia the other night. I watched that game. And,
hey, Marquette's always strong.
Marquette can run with
Golden Warriors.
Marquette can run, they've lost. The only game that they've lost in the last month,
right,
is to a Notre Dame team
who's playing pretty good.
They are. They're really good. I mean.
Well, they're going to definitely.
They beat Syracuse too. I mean, Notre Dame's a good.
Notre Dame's going to be a 4 or 5 seed,
and they're young, and they're. You're right. They're going to be a 4 or 5 seed. I mean, the Big East has, like I said,
monsters.
10 teams that are going to, that are going to go to the tournament and make noise. I mean, I think West Virginia gets in, UConn, Georgetown. Here, let me pull up the complete list: Syracuse, Marquette, Notre Dame, Georgetown, Cincinnati. Louisville, Seton Hall, they could get in.
Seton Hall might
Connecticut.
Make it. They're 19-10.
West Virginia gets in. South Florida could get in. I mean, South Florida's playing ball right now,
well,
too.
Well, West Virginia is definitely good. They're on the bubble, but they're an 8 seed. So, I mean, it's not like they're not good.
West Virginia, UConn, they're on the bubble. South Florida, I'd put them on the bubble, but their conference record is pretty good. They're 10-5 in the Big East, which is extremely respectable. I mean, this is a great conference.
Have you had a chance to see Georgetown live this year?
I've seen Georgetown.
Yeah, my brother-in-law owns season tickets.
I saw
tickets.
West Virginia beat Georgetown.
You know what I love about Georgetown? Not only with Junior's teams, but with his dad's teams, they play such great defense.
I mean, I grew up a Georgetown fan. I was a huge Georgetown fan. I was a huge Allen Iverson fan.
Patrick Ewing.
And then I went to West
Michael
Virginia.
Michael Jackson.
So, sorry, guys. I do have a Michael Jackson.
He was a guard on one of the old Georgetown teams.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the one.
You see, you're just too young to even understand what I'm spouting out here.
Shot that right over my head.
Absolutely.
There.
Michael Jackson, you know where he's from? Northern Virginia, Goofball. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Goofball. We're
Michael Jackson.
It's actually
Neverland
Roy
Ranch.
Edwards. Michael Jackson's from not that Michael Jackson. That Michael Jackson is dead.
Yes,
at least we think he is.
He's dead.
We're not sure actually.
He's hanging out with Tupac.
I mean, they thought Elvis was still alive.
Elvis is dead.
Yeah, how do you
The guy
know?
Died on the
Were
toilet.
Were you there burning a candle? You
guy,
have no
the
idea.
The guy died on the toilet. And everyone's just, he didn't die on that toilet.
No,
he's still alive.
He fell off the toilet.
He was taken by aliens. That's,
you got to be nice
Long
about
live
that.
The king. No, you're dead, buddy. Sorry.
Hey, let me let me tell you something. The thing about the Big East.
It's getting awkward.
Hey, Syracuse, think about all the crap that they went through right after the Penn State, you know, scandal. I guess we can call it a scandal. I call it a lot of other things, but I can't say those on air. But Syracuse is 28-1. Well, actually 29-1. No, they're 28-1. After all of that crap with the guy that was an assistant coach for them for how many years? As long as Boeheim's been there.
Yeah, he was there. And Boeheim came out and said some stuff that he shouldn't have said. And
well, you know, did you notice how quickly they put that behind him and how?
Well, they did it the right way. Penn State. I mean, you're dealing with Joe Paterno at Penn State and this guy in Syracuse. I mean, Syracuse basketball is big, but it helped that it came after the Joe Paterno thing. And the guys who came out and said that it happened weren't exactly the most credible sources. I think they were related. They were like stepbrothers or something like that, the two people who came out. So it's like,
We'll try. You know, what I'm going to have a hard time doing, Roy, is I'm going to have a hard time. But I have to try when the trial starts for Jerry Sandusky. If indeed it's a long, prolonged trial, I'll try very hard to limit what we talk about on that for about 2 minutes every show. But there's going to be a lot of calls that come in, you know, about that. Because anybody that's ever coached kids.
It's a touchy subject.
Touchy. But think
maybe that wasn't the right word there.
Let me tell you. This guy... No matter what is said, this guy is a horrible, evil guy. If indeed what he has allegedly done happened, if he did that, you know, I don't even know. I mean, I almost wish we lived in a third world country. I almost do, because then we could just stone the guy to death.
Then
we could just throw him out in the middle of a parking
you're just
lot.
Flying
and start...
stuff over my head today, man.
Hey,
I'm like what?
Hey,
you want to live in a what?
I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy G. Roy, so that was the Big East. When we get back, Roy's going to go over the Big 12.
I still got more of the Big East, buddy. I'm slapping you with it.
Hey, you're going to slap everybody with it. We'll be back in a few. Hey, you're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be back in a minute. Give us a call, 760-705-8888. That's 760-705-8888. Give us your sports moment of the week. We'll be back in a minute. Your life is truncated, boring, and confiscated. If that's your best won't do. Whoa, whoa. We'll write, yeah. We'll free, yeah. We'll fight, yeah. We'll see,
and we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. And we're talking NBA. We're talking...
Whoa. NCAA.
What's going on over here?
March Madness, dude.
We're talking March Madness. We're talking...
We're listening to some good music, too.
Talking NFL Combine. And we're talking Auggies.
You going to do me...
Auggies Italian. That's what we're talking.
You're going to be making me hungry again.
Great food.
You know what? Their food is so good. Yeah, and listen, if you don't have time to stick around and eat a big dinner... or late lunch or whatever. I don't, you know, what you need to do at Auggies is call and order something carry out, because their carry out's unbelievable. I mean, I can't wait to go back to Westchester.
Well, when we were there, they lined the bar with.
Well, that was New Year's Eve, but they must have had $3,000 or $4,000 worth of food
sitting
at the bar while we were there
getting picked up.
And I got to tell you something, man. It was like. Everything on our table smelled phenomenal. Everything to my right smelled phenomenal. Everything behind me smelled phenomenal. When the waitress came by, she smelled phenomenal. All of that.
I don't remember the waitress.
I can say that. I'm married and I'm old. I'm Bruce Hall and I'm 58 and I'm old. Hey, listen, let's talk about something real quick. Let's drop a little bit of a free agent signing on everybody. Ryan Zimmerman, in case you don't know who that is, he's third baseman for the Washington Nationals. He gave yesterday as his last day that he would even talk about
for the season,
signing a new deal.
It was for good reason.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to be sidetracked with all that
right,
crap.
Right. He didn't.
He wants the deal or not. Guess what? He just signed 6 years, $100 million, mm-hmm. which is last time I checked, that is pretty damn good. That's 17, like basically just under $17 million a year.
He's a great player.
And you know what? I personally sent Rizzo. Yeah. Shut up. I sent Mike Rizzo an email the other day, told him was perfectly all right with $84 million for 6 years. And I'm guessing that's where Rizzo started, but they ended up at 100. And oh, by the way, the other guy we gave all the money to,
hey, you know, Jason Worth,
can't even hold Ryan Zimmerman's jockstrap.
Jason Worth is good.
Jason Worth is good, but he's not very good.
Well, we gave him the money to come to Washington.
And he did.
That's, we needed to give him a lot of money.
Well, it's not like the Learners don't have the money. The Learners have the money.
They're the richest family in baseball.
They have the money.
They own Tyson's Corner.
They're billionaires.
Yeah, multiple times over.
Oh, they own more than Tyson's Corner. They own probably 50 malls in the country. 50. Maybe more than 50.
I'm just saying, they own Tyson's Corner.
But I hear they just have chips and dip at their Christmas party. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm just telling it like it is.
Is it hell of a good dip, though?
It better be hell of a good. Hey, so are you going to finish up and do the Big 12 for everybody? Hey, talk about who's going to be in the Big 12 in the NCAA tournament, Roy. Go!
Kansas, Missouri.
Well, Kansas for sure. Well, what's Kansas's record, Roy?
They are 14-2 in the conference, 24-5 overall. They're a very good basketball team, and they just beat Missouri.
Beat them in overtime. Mm-hmm. Barely.
Missouri is a very good basketball team,
too. Well, they were number three.
They're 12-4, 25-4 overall. Very good baseball.
And speaking of RG,
very good basketball team.
Speaking of RG3,
Baylor is another great team in this conference. They're 11-5, 24-5 overall. I mean, that's where the three is. That's the big three in the Big East right now. And then I mean Iowa State.
Big 12.
Iowa State would probably go.
They're gonna make it. They're 21-8. They're 11-5 in the conference. I like Kansas State.
Yeah,
Kansas State has got some good wins.
I mean, I think Kansas State goes. I think Texas goes.
Texas is kind of flip a coin.
Well, Texas,
they're 8-8 in the conference. I mean, I think you're going to need to have a winning record or at least be .500 in that conference to go.
I think they get – the Texas plays Oklahoma, then they play Kansas. And if they beat Kansas and Oklahoma, I think they go.
They're going to beat Oklahoma.
If they get to their 20 wins, I think they're in. And especially with hanging a hat on that number 5 Kansas Jayhawks win, if they get it. So I'm tempted to put Texas in. I mean, you got to see what they do in the conference tournament. I think they're another one of those guys. They're a bubble team for me. But I could see them getting in.
Yeah, you know what? The thing about Texas that their coach is an old Clemson coach, and they play the same kind of aggressive defense this guy's always played. And I can't think of his name to save my life, but he's been around for years. Real good coach. Texas, generally speaking, they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. They've got a great history in the NCAA tournament.
They usually Durantula.
Yeah, they usually win maybe a game more than everybody expects them to. They're probably going to be an 8 or 9 seed, maybe a 10 seed, but I doubt it. Most of the teams that come out of these major conferences aren't less than 9s or 10s. Very rarely do you see an 11 or a 12. Right? Those are safe for mid majors. Those are safe for teams out of conferences, you know, like the Atlantic 10, like the Pac-12. You know, if you get an extra Missouri Valley team in, like the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson got in a couple of years ago. Florida State got a couple of years ago. That they were like 12s or something like that. But they were like 12, 13, that area. But, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, usually the higher seeds are the smaller schools. But if Texas goes, they're definitely not going to be anything higher than the 10 seed. I mean, I think they're 11, 12 seed. But they haven't – you got to look at their strength of schedule. Anyone who's ranked, they've lost to. I mean, they lost to UNC. They lost to Kansas. They lost to Kansas State. They lost to Missouri. They lost to Baylor. They lost to Mizzou. They lost to Baylor again. I mean, it lost to OK State. I mean
– it's not good.
It's not – nothing really jumps out as being impressive to me,
right.
but when 68 teams are going and if you can get to 20 wins, that's my big number for Texas. If they can get to 20 wins, beating Oklahoma and beating Kansas, then I think you've done enough. But I don't know. I mean, you got to look at the smaller conferences, where you got to look at a team like VCU. Who might be
able
to sneak in.
Absolutely. George Mason's having a monster year.
Right. So then you got to put teams like that up against Texas.
Right.
And
plus, if we're not going to talk about the Pac-12 today, but the Pac-12's got a couple of teams that are probably going to be there, and they may knock a Texas out, like a Stanford or a Colorado.
I mean,
Texas
beat Kansas State earlier in the year, but they also lost to them. I mean,
Kansas State has got like four or five really good wins this year.
Kansas State's a decent basketball
team. It's what the committee looks at. You know, they like to look at that stuff. You know, Missouri Valley, we're not going to talk about them, but they've got two teams that are definitely going to the dance. Wichita State and Creighton are both going.
Yeah, they're in.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, these are two teams that could be elite eight teams. And Wichita State definitely could be. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about two conferences here that used to be a lot better than they are right now.
Yeah.
First, the ACC. This is maybe the weakest year I can remember the ACC having.
They've been down for a couple years now.
They've got good coaches. I mean, NC State has, they replaced a guy that I thought was a phenomenal coach who ended up out west somewhere with Mark Gottfried. Mark Gottfried's done a good job. They're 7-7, NC State is, in the conference. They're 18-11 overall, but they're almost a bubble the way they're playing. They don't have a lot of really good wins. Miami has Jim Larrañaga. Now, Jim Larrañaga, you and I both love. He was George Mason University's head coach, took the job at Miami, and he's done a great job. They're 16-10 overall, though, and that's not terribly impressive. They're 7-6. Now, if they can win, put a little streak together here and get to 20 wins, they got a great shot. Now, to me, Tony Bennett, with what he's done at University of Virginia the last 3 years, this guy is a great coach. He has a lifetime, he's 164. 100 wins, 64 losses. They're 8-6 in the conference. They lost a tough one yesterday. They're 21-7 overall. Mm. I like Virginia. I like them going. I see Virginia as being like a 5. I mean, they could be a 5 or 6
Virginia,
seed.
Virginia will definitely get in. I mean, they got the record to do that.
I mean, they're a bubble top 20 team right now.
I mean, who have they beaten? That's what I hang my hat on in the ACC. The ACC is a bunch of really nobodies.
Well, tell me who they beat.
They're top heavy.
You've got the list there.
Yeah, I do. And they beat.
Beaten Duke?
No.
Have they beaten NC State?
Yeah, they beat NC State.
Okay. Have they beaten Florida State?
Nope.
Haven't beaten Florida State. Well, they need to beat Florida State.
They lost to Florida State. They lost to UNC twice.
Who are their big wins against?
They lost
Roy.
To Duke once. The only big win that I see that is worth mentioning on here is Michigan.
Yeah, and that's not terribly big.
And Michigan's a good. I mean, Michigan's a good school. They're a good basketball program.
Well,
Beilein. I know Beilein's system very well. When I was a freshman at West Virginia, he was the WVU coach and led a Joseph Herbert and Pitsnoggle team to the Elite Eight. I mean,
the top three teams in the ACC,
Sweet 16.
Roy, the top three teams are Duke, UNC, and Florida State.
And I don't think Florida State's that good.
Well, you know what, though? They got a great coach, Leonard Hamilton, who's been there 10 years, which is hard for me to even remember him being there that long. But he was the Wizards coach for 1 year when they weren't the Wizards. Well, they might have been the Wizards. But Leonard Hamilton is an excellent basketball coach. They're 10-3 in the conference. They're 19-8 overall. They do have some big wins.
Yeah.
Carolina, that's Roy Williams. He's going to go. They're 12-2, 25-4 overall. They'll be there, although I don't think they're that good.
UNC and Florida State, both have the
resume. This is not a typical UNC.
But, I mean, UNC beat Wisconsin, lost to Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky's the best team in the nation. Then, you know, they beat a bunch of nobodies. They beat that Texas team that we were talking about.
Carolina has not really beaten anybody.
Not really.
Hey.
They lost to Duke. They beat UVA. Well, we were just talking about how UVA hasn't really beaten anybody.
Let's talk about Duke. Duke's 12-2 in a conference. They're 25-4 overall, exactly like UNC. But look at who they play. You know, their out of conference opponents are always better than Carolina's. Always.
Well, yeah, they beat Kansas. They beat Michigan. They lost to Ohio State.
Was that at Ohio State?
Which I came on here and said that Ohio State has a very good chance of winning it all. I love their center Singleton.
Right.
But then they lose to Temple. It's like, what do you do? What are you doing losing to Temple?
Well, Temple's playing some ball right now.
You don't lose to Temple if you're Duke. And then they beat UVA, they beat UNC, they beat Florida State. I mean, those are all ranked teams. You beat Michigan and Kansas. Duke's obviously in. They're a very good basketball team. But
are they a Final Four team?
No.
Okay. Is Carolina a Final Four team?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I see two teams coming out of the Big East and the Big 12. Not two each, but I see a team out of the Big East, maybe two in the Final Four.
Syracuse.
And I see at least one out of the Big 12.
Syracuse.
And you throw that in with Kentucky, right? I mean, that's my next conference, by the way.
Kentucky, Ohio State, Syracuse, Kansas. That's my Final Four. Syracuse, Ohio State, Kentucky, Kansas.
All right. Let me talk a little bit about the SEC. I've got Kentucky, John Calipari. I know you don't like him. I love him. I met him when he was in Memphis. He was like best friends with one of my best friends.
I like him as a coach. I just don't think his style is suited to win a national championship.
No, it's not, because he keeps guys for a year. You're absolutely right.
He brings in people who can run, which is great.
Now, but you got to admit, this year, they got a shot.
They do, but what happens when this team, who's a run and gun, you know, very undisciplined, high-scoring offense, what happens when they go up against, say, a Duke team who is extremely well-disciplined and well-coached and plays lockdown defense, or even Florida State? I think
they'll have a harder time with like a Kansas or a Syracuse that can do everything.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying that you.
I don't see anybody.
If you come up against a very disciplined team,
I got them as
who can play.
Yeah,
you're in trouble. I mean, Syracuse. I love Syracuse. I really like Ohio State too. I like Kansas a lot. I mean, Kentucky. I like them to be in the Final Four, but I don't. They're not getting the big. They're not getting the big game.
You know who my sleeper team is? Billy Donovan's Florida Gators. This is a good basketball team.
Yeah, Florida's
they're 20.
Good.
They're 22-7. They're 10-4. You know, they're going to need to beat somebody they're not supposed to beat. But when has Billy Donovan not beaten somebody in the Final Four he's not supposed to beat? He's done it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it a lot with teams not nearly as good as this team. I like him. I mean, this guy's 360 wins, 147 defeats. They were national champs in 06 and 07. I like Florida. Hey, Vanderbilt is my third best team in that conference.
Florida's got some big wins too. Sorry to cut you off there.
But no, go ahead.
They beat Texas A&M, number 22 in the country. They beat Mississippi State, who's a good basketball team.
Mississippi State is real good.
They lost to Kentucky. They got blown out by Kentucky by 20. But
Kentucky.
It's Kentucky, the number one team in the nation.
And that was a close game until the second half.
Yeah, I mean Florida. They got some wins on here.
They
lost to Ohio State. They lost to Syracuse.
A lot of teams have lost to Ohio State.
Yeah, they lost to a Rutgers team in double overtime. But
Rutgers isn't terrible.
Rutgers is.
They've got some players.
I mean, the Big East is deep, so it's hard to take a team when you're looking at the Big East and you say, "Oh, well, the Rutgers was terrible."
Right.
I mean, yeah, they're 13-16, 5-11 in the Big East, but you're playing in the Big East. I mean, the Big East doesn't get a rest. There's no rest in the Big East. There's a Seton Hall. I mean, you're playing Seton Hall. Then you're playing Syracuse. Then you're playing UConn. Then you're playing Georgetown. I mean, there's no rest.
All right. Well, we're talking about the SEC now. Vanderbilt, I've got, is number three. They're 9-5 in the conference. They're 20-9 overall. Alabama hasn't lost at home all year. They're 19-0 at home. Anthony Grant's done a phenomenal job. This is a really good coach. He was at VCU a few years back. Started out as an assistant in Florida.
Alabama lost to to Vanderbilt at home.
Yeah, Alabama's got some problems, too. Alabama's got some personnel problems. They've had some suspensions. So they may or may not even be there when it's over. LSU, I have. They're 7-7, 17-11. They've done a good job. Rick Stansbury, this is the team that may surprise some people. Mississippi State, this guy's...
They're looking good.
They've averaged 21 wins for the last 5 years with Stansbury there. They're 19-9 overall. We'll be right back. This is Bruce Hall on AM 1230 WFAS. Friends say it's fine. Friends say it's good. Everybody says it's just like Robin Hood.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. New York, we are talking NCAA basketball. We were. March Madness coming up, but I think we're going to jump into the NFL Combine here. To check all the people who have
I love
power.
This music.
How's that a plan? There you got that, huh?
I got the power. Hey, I got a phone number for you. If you were trying to get through, sorry about that. You weren't able to. The number you got to get through to is 240. That's area code 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. I was wondering why we weren't getting any calls.
Well, our producer screwed that one.
Yeah, but he's a nice guy anyway. I love him. Give us a call. Hey, and you know what? I'm going to go eat Italian. I can't eat at Augie's. I'd love to.
Yeah.
Augie's Family Italian Restaurant in Westchester. Great place. Great food. You never leave Augie's hungry. That's for sure. We didn't leave Augie's hungry. No. I got back to the hotel and fell asleep in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I missed the bus.
I think we turned on a movie and we both crashed.
We were watching ESPN. And
we were watching something. I don't remember a damn thing.
Missed the ball drop. That was awful.
You know, hey, we did talk about – somebody just gave us some information a little while ago. And we're going to talk about the NFL Combine now briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Not forever. But we're going to talk about the NFL because the NFL is always the talk. The thing I love the most about the Combine, you know, during the week, if you follow the NFL and you go to NFL Network and, you know, you watch all the press conferences on Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, all around the league, they come like every hour. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to any of it. But during the Combine week, every single general manager or if he can't be there, an assistant GM, and every head coach in the league gets podium time. And that's what I love the most about it because this a lot of these guys, it's the first time anybody has seen them in the media like since their season was over. Most of them will do like a last press conference of the year, but nobody ever sees those. During this week, everybody sees them. And I got to tell you, you know, Jerry Reese, you people in New York have no idea how lucky you are to have – well, first of all, how lucky you are. I don't mean lucky. I mean how great it is for you to have a Super Bowl winning team. And not only the first time you've done it, it's like the fifth time the Giants have won the Super Bowl, right? Or fourth?
Fourth time.
And Jerry Reese is the big reason – that happened. Jerry Reese is one of the biggest reasons that back in late October, I picked the New York Giants to win the East and make a market, you know, during the playoffs. It's all about personnel. The Giants had some of the best personnel in the entire league. When you match the Giants personnel up with the Packers personnel, the only real difference between the two teams, in my opinion, both offensive lines were average. Really, the Packers' offensive line wasn't that good either. If you remember the Packers, they didn't run the ball all that well, but they pass blocked real well for Aaron Rodgers. Same thing for Eli. You know, the Giants went through a lot of problems with injuries and so forth with their offensive line. But this guy put the pieces together, and the Giants just ended up doing a great job. The Giants have some decisions to make. Because they're going to have some cap problems. They're going to have to restructure some deals. And there's already been a lot of talk about it. But if anybody's going to get it done and get it done right, it's Jerry Reese. I don't think that the Giant fans have anything to worry about. Mario Manningham just went home where he's from this weekend, and I'm sure everybody read in the paper, he's 75% sure that he won't be a Giant next year. Well, you know, that's just because Manningham thinks, A, he's a one or a two, and he probably is a two with a lot of teams. He's not a one with any of them. I'm just telling you. You know, he drops too many passes, and he's not quite beefy enough, in my opinion, to be a one. Okay? Doesn't make enough big plays. He's a solid two. He's a great three. But he's going to be somewhere else, and that's good news for the Giants. Because all the Giants have to do is sign a free agent that can be Mario Manningham. They've got, and they've also got to draft a tight end or make a deal for a good tight end. Because they have two guys that got injured in the Super Bowl that had knee problems. And I'm just telling you right now, when I listen to Jerry Reese and listen to him talk, I guess it was yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, it was great. And it was nice listening to this. Brandon Jacobs, I think, is coming back. Nobody's going to get is going to pay big money for Brandon Jacobs, and I'll tell you why. He's a big guy. He's if you look at him and you see him in a locker room and you think this guy's a running back, you're extremely impressed with how physical he looks, how big and strong he is. But he doesn't run big, Roy. He doesn't. He runs sometimes east and west. He'll cut it outside, and a 200-pound, 190-pound corner will ankle tackle him and put him down. But he's a great backup to a starting running back like Ahmad Bradshaw. Because Ahmad Bradshaw is not going to start 16 games a year. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
With that foot problem that he's got.
They need the 1-2 punch.
Yes, they do. And they're the perfect 1-2 punch. As a matter of fact, with Ware in there, they're like a 1-2-3 punch. Okay? They're definitely going to bring more running backs into camp, you know, either through the draft in the later rounds, maybe not even the later rounds, but I don't think they're not going to spend a first or second or third round pick on anything except an immediate need. And their immediate needs, in my opinion, would be an offensive lineman, a tight end, and then possibly, you know, if we we're going to sign OC's 50-50. OC Umanyora, I think, is 50-50. OC's been around. OC's been hurt. You know, nobody knows OC better than the Giants. Mm-hmm. And I really, you know, once the Giants take care of their coaching staff, which I think they're in the process of doing now, extending some of those guys, they're going to try to bring as many guys back to the fold as they can. And if that happens, I think the Giants, honest to God, they could repeat. Because Eli's not going to get any worse.
Right. I mean, Eli's...
Their offense is not going to get any worse.
Eli had a great season this year, and it's if he can do that again, then, yeah, they got a great shot. I mean, Eli played lights out this year. He played great. And he established himself as an elite quarterback. I think top five. You could make an argument that Eli Manning is a top five quarterback.
Right.
But
he's definitely a top five quarterback.
I think there's a lot of questions to be answered.
For Eli?
No. For this Giants team in general. I mean, for next season. I mean... Their defense was not that good this past year.
No, but they got well. They had injuries in their secondary.
They got hot at the right time.
But you know what? They started playing more man, and they got guys healthy again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now they've got some contract issues with some of their guys, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Now, you know, they drafted Prince Akamura.
Yep.
Amakamura, or whatever the hell his name is. Yeah. Prince. We just call him Prince.
The corner, right?
Yeah. He's the entertainer known as Prince,
that wears a blue jersey.
Right. But I got to tell you, you know, he's solid. And if they can get another guy, maybe they had to spend a pretty high draft choice on him.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good safeties and a lot of good corners in the draft. I could see the Giants picking a defensive back or two. And because if they can, because their front seven are amazing. When Boley came back, I thought the key to their defense was Michael Boley. Michael Boley went out early this year. He missed, what, five games? Six games? And then Boley comes back, and what do? They win 7 out of 8, or 6 out of 7, to finish the season and win the Super Bowl. A middle linebacker is like gold. If you've got a middle linebacker that can cover the pass, you know, that can scrape, that can do all those things that a linebacker has to do and tackle and stay healthy, you're going to win a lot of games. They're going to need another linebacker, too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, I mean, they're...
I don't think their offense needs much except an O-lineman and maybe a tight end.
Yeah, I'm with
That's
you.
It.
I'm with you on the tight end thing. I can see him drafting a tight end, but they're...
How about James Hanna? He just ran a... What did he run, Roy?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
4.49?
He ran a...
4.49 40-yard dash.
Yeah, 4.49.
And tell him what the combine, yep. who the early word on him from the NFL scouting was.
Yeah, the early...
He was slow.
Yeah, that he was slow.
He's real slow. 4.49.
4.49 is pretty fast. He also was a top performer in the three-cone drill, the 20-yard shuffle, and the 60-yard shuffle.
And he weighs 255?
This guy doesn't sound slow at all to me.
I think he's like 255.
252, yeah. 6'4", 252.
And guess what?
Says he's a great hand. He's not a very good pass blocker, but he's good in the passing game.
You know who he's going to be a lot like? That tight end out of New England, if he can catch.
Yeah, this
now, that kid's got hands.
This write-up is talking about Rob Gronkowski, too.
Let me tell you, this kid's going to play at 270. You know that. He's not going to play at 252. Because once he gets in there and gets all that good food that they get at the training tables, you know, for the Giants, and he starts lifting weights with a professional trainer, he's going to gain 20 pounds of muscle.
He might lose weight, though.
No. I don't think so. Not a kid 449's lean. Trust me, he's not going to lose weight because they develop muscle, and muscle weighs more than fat. Goofy, you know that. You're an athlete. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to my nephew Roy Edwards. He's not really my nephew, but no. He might as well be.
So Andrew Luck just ran a 4.59 40.
That's ridiculous.
Which is that's about what Cam Newton ran last year.
Gee, I guess that locks up the number one pick for him.
Cam Newton, he ran a 4.58 last year, and Locker ran a 4.52. Those are the two quarterbacks last year that there were all the talk was
about. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say something here, Roy.
Go
you tell
it.
Me if I'm wrong. Andrew Luck could have run a 4.89 and still been the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, well, his first attempt was a 4.6, which is fast. It's pretty fast. So I mean. He's in the top 540 times for quarterbacks.
I mean,
Robert Griffin's leading the way with a 4.38, so which is ridiculously fast.
Well, quarterbacks and running backs, I guess, are running today. Yesterday it was
receivers running too. Yeah, and tight ends.
You know what? Yesterday it was tight ends and offensive linemen, and there was an offensive lineman, Matt Khalil from Southern Cal, who is supposed to be maybe the third pick in the draft. He may end up being, if the Redskins have really put this deal together to get RG3 with the second pick, right, Roy?
That's what they're talking about.
Evidently, there's some talk around now.
The first, second, and third rounder evidently, this year the first next year.
Evidently, Snyder came in with Snyder can't wait. He doesn't know how to negotiate anyway. He just gives them everything they want.
Give them what they want.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'll just charge my fans for it. No big deal. We'll just raise ticket prices because we have RG3. If they put this deal together for RG3, though, I feel real good about the Redskins, and I'll tell you why. We have two good running backs, and you know what? We're getting off a little bit from the combine here, but
not really. It's NFL.
But yeah, I'm going to tell you, the Redskins have two good running backs. They have a very average offensive line, maybe below average.
Yeah.
I think they're ranked 27th out of 32 teams. That's not good. You know what the Giants were ranked this week, by the way, with offensive linemen?
What's that?
30th. I disagree with that. You don't win a Super Bowl with a 30th ranked offensive line.
He did get beat up, though, in that San Francisco game.
Yes, he did, but San Francisco beat everybody up.
Yeah, yeah.
They beat everybody up all year, and guess what?
I mean, San Francisco made that.
They lost.
They made that line look really bad.
Yeah, they did. Well, San Francisco has one of the top fronts. They may have the top front seven in the league.
I mean, San Francisco.
They're going to be a team.
San Francisco was a fielded punt. Really away from being
well, they were, yeah, that and the drop, you know, on the return.
Yeah.
That poor kid, whatever his name is. You know, I've forgotten his name because I don't think I'll ever hear it again.
No, I can tell you one thing. People in San Francisco know exactly what his name is.
Bill Buckner's his name. I'm sorry, Billy. I didn't mean that. That's a really sad thing to do.
But yeah, I mean.
That was low. I love Bill Buckner. Bill Buckner was a great baseball player. He had a lifetime average of like 299. I know you, Roy. You're going to check me out and find out. But boy, Bill Buckner was one of the best hitting first basemen in the major leagues when he played. And he was a really good fielder, too.
He's the pebble, right?
One play he is known for his entire career, a ball that made his way between his legs, under his glove, in a game that tied it up. They win it in the bottom of the ninth, the next inning, then they win the next game, and it's over.
He hit a pebble. The ball hit a pebble. It's very hard to
whatever. You know, It couldn't have hit a pebble, because if it hit a pebble, it'd have hit him in the chest.
What a terrible
It went
excuse.
Right between the wickets. I'm Bruce Hall.
I mean, you gotta get
this
down.
This is Bruce Hall's
ball.
Second opinion. You know, you can go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports. Send me some information. Let me know what's going on. We're in here from 10 to 12, but you guys are out there. Give us a call too. 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. Let us know what you're thinking. Ask us any question you want. Let us know if you like us, if you hate us, if we're, so-so, whatever you want to do. Roy, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm already ready for the draft. Are you ready for the draft in the NFL? I'm ready. Especially if we don't have a first, second, and a third, because I want to see who we pick with a fourth pick.
If the Redskins go through with this trade and they do the 1-2-3 and the one next year for RG3, then I don't know if I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, it'll be a six and ten season. It'll be awesome to.
I've already picked them to be 6-10 with or without RG3.
I mean, they're bad. They're really.
I don't
bad.
Think it matters who the quarterback is if we give up a 1-2-3 and a one. Well, actually, it's a 1-2-3 this year.
It would be a 1-2-3 this year. And a
so
one
that means
year.
That means that the Rams are getting. Two ones, two twos, two threes. Maybe the Rams will actually win the West this year like we said they would the first week of the show.
I said that.
God, we were stupid. Hey, but San Francisco, I mean, they just kicked butt.
They did.
The whole season. You know, they covered like 11 games out of 16 this season. They made me well. You know who else made me well? Thank you, the New York Giants. The New York football Giants. Hey, let's talk real quick about the Jets. I saw Rex. Mm. He looked like he had cleaned up nice.
What do you mean?
I mean, he shaved. He, you know, his foo was neatly trimmed. He looked like he had lost 2 or 3 pounds. I mean, it's Rex, but I mean, he cleaned up nice, and he actually seemed pretty humble. He basically came out and said, you know what? You know, we got a lot of work to do. I screwed up. I was horrible. I had the worst year I've ever had as a coach. Blah, 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 blah. Here's the bottom line. You better draft a damn quarterback or trade for a quarterback, because if you think Mark Sanchez is going to get you through the playoffs anytime soon in the AFC, I think you're kidding yourself.
I think they should need to address the quarterback position too, but I don't think it's completely ready time to completely throw out the Mark Sanchez. Completely.
No, I don't think you want to throw him out.
He's young. He's still a developing quarterback.
He could get better.
Yeah, but
you
can still bring somebody in to compete. I mean, I'm not against that, but I just think throwing Mark Sanchez, you know, just out the door right now, I don't know if that's the best move for you. But, you know, I know a lot of New Yorkers who would disagree with me on that, saying get that guy out of here. So,
well, you know, their offensive line was ranked literally in the top, I want to say, 7. Of the NFL last year.
They're a really good offensive line.
Well, I'll tell you what. And they had injuries all year, and they were still ranked number 7.
They need to get a running game going again. That was their crutch.
Sean Green, they need another guy besides Sean Green.
Yeah, LT's done, and he proved that this year.
But Sean Green's good. I mean, he's a North and South guy. Bring him in, but you got to give him a blow because he works so hard. Hey, we'll be back in a minute. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS.
Oh, wow, man. Wait a second, man. What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year?
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking a little bit of NFL Combine. We're going to jump here into the New York Yankees, Mets, some MLB action here in a little bit. And we just got done, or are we still talking Giants and Jets?
You know, the Jets are going to bounce back.
I like the Jets last year.
Well, they've got a good coaching staff,
didn't
too.
Do very well.
Although there's been some guys, you know, they lost their offensive coordinator, who's in St. Louis now.
Yeah, he's a Ram.
And by the way, the Rams, if this deal comes through, He's going to be happy as the offensive coordinator because he's going to be drafting.
He's going to have a lot of weapons.
He's going to draft potentially two first round receivers in the first six picks.
If this trade goes through with the Redskins, with a 1-2-3 and a 1 next year, you're looking at the 6th pick this year for the Rams, which you could still grab Blackmon at 6 if you're the Rams, and you get a 1 next year. So when the Redskins suck again, you can probably grab another 6, you know, 6 overall pick. So
they need to take the kid from Georgia Tech, the wide receiver Hill, that's moved way up everybody's list.
Well, the dude's
they might even be speed. He's going to go in the first round now. They were expecting him to be an early second round pick. I don't think so anymore. Times were just too good. You know, and just the kid was, you know, you can't be a moron and go to Georgia Tech. It's a really tough school. Of course, you probably already knew that. Yeah, Luck ran a 4.66 and a 4.59.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Fast. It's really fast. And then Stephen Hill is the guy you're talking about out of Georgia.
Yeah, he's a stud.
He ran a 4.3.
Well, look how big he is. 6'4.5", like 224, 218, something like that. He's going to be just like your boy. What's your boy's name from Detroit?
Megatron. I don't see
Blackmon. How good is that guy, though?
I don't see Blackmon on here. I don't think Blackmon ran.
Blackmon, he can't run. He already said he wasn't going to run. He's got a pulled hamstring.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to run a 4.6 like Jerry Rice, and he's still going to be good.
Luck.
But I got to tell you, you know who he reminds me of?
Who's that?
Because of exactly the same guy acted exactly the same way at the combine. Michael Crabtree. Because he couldn't run better than a 4.6 either.
Well,
but Michael Crabtree's not nearly as big and not nearly as good a receiver. Well, I don't know, though. Michael Crabtree
in college
he caught over 100 passes every year.
He was a beast.
He was a beast, but he's not a big beast. He's kind of a smaller beast. This guy is a big guy.
I like Blackmon a lot.
I do too. Well, everybody else seems to too. You know, just like they liked, you know, Megatron.
Well, yeah.
Mr. Williams?
Huh?
Johnson.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson. See, call him Megatron so much we forget his real name.
Williams was the other guy that the other guy. The Detroit drafted 1,200
wide receivers
in a row. Well,
the one guy they drafted from Southern Cal didn't work out. Remember, they sent him somewhere else, and he's done fine. I want to say he's in Tampa Bay now.
Yeah, I think he
is in Tampa Bay. Yeah. And unfortunately, he was the only receiver they had in Tampa Bay.
Well, they had Roy Williams, too. I mean, you can't forget Roy Williams, who didn't do anything for them either. I mean, they drafted receivers. That's what Detroit did. And then I remember when they drafted Calvin Johnson, and I was like, what are you doing? It's another receiver. You guys are dumb. And, well, it was Calvin Johnson. So I guess if you throw enough darts, you're going to hit something, right?
You know, Roy, I don't know. What's going on with this 1, 2, and 3 that we're hearing about? But I don't see it anywhere yet. So we must have some really deep, deep, deep undercover information.
I see it.
I don't see it.
All over my timeline.
I don't see it on Twitter.
Well, following the wrong people.
I don't see it. But listen, let's talk a little bit about the New York Yankees. Hey, if you're gonna do it, guys, you need to do it this year.
They're old.
Yeah, but there's an article I gave it to you out of the New York Post this morning, and it had like the ages of like the oldest 15 or 20 guys in the league. I mean, in Major League Baseball, guess who had 5 of those 20? The Yankees. And you know what? And that's just because they didn't get another guy they were after. They would have 6 guys that are all old.
Well, it's done by time in the league.
How many years? Well, but that pretty much is
you got A-Rod, Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter, Andrew Jones, Raul Ibanez.
Andrew Jones got to be 40. Is he 40? I remember when he was 19. He's from Curacao, and he played. You know, he played in the major leagues when he was 19 for the Atlanta Braves.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing. This kid. Now I'm going to tell you something.
He's 34.
If you're that's it.
34.
Oh, he just seems 40. I got news for you. You look at him. He's got a 40-year-old body, and I'll tell you why he's got a 40-year-old body.
He
gained 50 pounds of muscle, and he can't run anymore. And he can't hardly throw. But he still plays center field.
I mean, he's been around for a while.
For a Yankee, he's young. If he's only 34.
He's 34, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How old's Derek?
That's what I was just about to look up.
Derek's 36, I bet. And I think A-Rod's 38. And I think Mariano's 39, maybe?
Mariano Rivera, I think he's 40.
Yeah, but you know what? He throws like a 25-year-old.
Jeter's 37.
Yeah, we're close. You know what? I remember Derek Jeter when he first came into the majors. if you notice when Derek's batting, he never is in the on-deck circle. He always walks about another 10 feet, and he gets right up against the screen because evidently he doesn't get hit there as much. And what's really neat if you're, you know, like a fan and you're in some of those seats is you can talk to him and he'll actually answer you. And when he was 19, I told him he had bird legs, and he looked at me and he said, "You sound just like my damn trainer." And I got to tell you, his quadriceps were half of my size at the time. But he ended up beefing up a little bit and getting a little bigger and stronger. And first ballot Hall of Famer. And, you know, however Derek Jeter goes, I would say the Yankees are going to go this year.
I really like Derek Jeter. I think
too. He had a good year at the end of last year.
Him being in the leadoff spot, I don't like that. I mean, I get
he's
it.
A he's, two. Derek Jeter. He's a two because, you know, he goes the other way so good.
I mean, he had decent numbers this year, but
I mean, they could put the little left-handed outfielder that's so fast as a leadoff hitter.
That's yeah.
Couldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And then just let Jeter bat second, and then you got to think about, do you put Teixeira three? No, you put Cano three, you put Teixeira four, you put A-Rod five, maybe even six A-Rod if he doesn't hit. I mean, let me tell you, if you're in Tampa in about 3 weeks, you're going to have so much fun because I know this is going to be one of the best spring trainings the Yankees have ever had because they literally have four or five Hall of Famers just walking around.
Well, it's
so buy a lot of baseballs before you go down there, because they'll be a lot cheaper up here than they are down there. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
One of my writers, Mike Lombardi, did an article on our SMC New York on his outlook.
That's not Michael Lombardi, is it?
Mike Lombardi.
Well, you know who Michael Lombardi
is. Yes, I knew
is.
Michael Lombardi.
Oh, so this guy's the Mike NFL Lombardi. Network. I get it. Does he ever get mixed up with that guy?
Michael Lombardi?
I bet he does.
I don't think so.
All right, what did he say?
But he was talking about, I mean, he did his lineup. His last article was on the Yankees outlook, and he said that just what you're saying, that Brett Gardner should be the leadoff guy.
Absolutely,
he should be the leadoff guy. That he's fast. He's a good baseball IQ. He runs the bases well.
He's smart.
Why isn't he the leadoff? Because there's a guy named Derek Jeter who's there, and Derek Jeter does what he wants. Yeah. I mean,
he shouldn't be leading off, though.
I agree. I don't think Derek Jeter is a leadoff man, but where are you going to put him?
You know what? Against right-handers, he might not even be a two. I want to say Derek still hits lefties better than righties. He's not one of these guys that's exactly the same. One of the ways is when you evaluate talent, which is what I do, and I do it at the baseball level even more so than I do at the football level, but when you evaluate hitting talent, you want a guy that's exactly the same against lefties as he is against righties. And that's your best hitters all hit the same against righties and lefties. Guys that have a problem with somebody throwing from their side, generally it's because they have a little harder time staying in on the ball and keeping their hands inside and driving it away. In the last few years, Jeter has gotten a little bit worse at that. And it's just because it's natural. Your bat speed is going to slow down, and you're going to be injured and stuff like that. But I still think he's an effective hitter. He's going to get – if he doesn't get injured, and what are the chances of him not getting injured? Probably zero. He's probably going to miss 10, 20 games this year. But if that's all he misses, he should have 150 to 180 hits. He should score 80 to 100 runs. But I like that other kid. That outfield –
Brett Gardner.
Yeah, Brett Gardner is one hell of a ball player. The Yankees, for the first time in a long time, Roy, have some really good kids in the minor leagues, though.
Robinson Cano, Curtis Granderson, Brett Gardner. I mean,
Granderson's a three. Granderson used to be a one. He used to be a leadoff hitter in Detroit.
I mean, if the Yankees are going to be a powerhouse again, those three guys right there need to step their game up. I mean, and then there's the Mark Teixeiras, obviously the Derek Jeters, Alex Rodriguez's. They're all going to be there, but they're kind of on the downslope. I mean, we've seen the best of Mark Teixeira. I mean, their production was down this year than from 2009, or this past year from 2009. So, I mean, I feel like you can't really hang your hat on the A-Rod just jacking bombs.
Well,
Mark Teixeira.
I don't count on A-Rod for anything.
And Nick Swisher.
You count on A-Rod for anything? Hey, now listen. Don't get down on Swisher. Swisher had a great year last year. Swisher came on extremely strong.
He regressed from 2009.
Yeah, he still had a very good year because he didn't start out that well.
Well, I'm not saying he had a bad year. I'm saying
he had a better year than A-Rod did.
Well, I'm saying that A-Rod was regressed also.
A-Rod may not play that much.
What I'm saying is, if the Yankees are going to compete and the Yankees are going to seriously look for a pennant, they're going to have to hang their hat on Robinson Cano and Curtis Granderson and Brett Gardner in the leadoff.
Jeter.
Well, Derek, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Derek Jeter and A-Rod and Teixeira and Swisher, they'll be there, but they're not your guys.
The bottom line with the Yankees this year has nothing to do with hitting. And everything to do with pitching. If they don't pitch, they don't win.
Well,
and I got news for you. Boston's going nowhere. Beer or no beer in their clubhouse, they're not going anywhere this year. That team will not win for Bobby Valentine. Not this year. And they're not. And they really don't have that much talent. And they're getting old. They're not a very good baseball team, in my opinion. There's a lot better teams out there, in my opinion, like the California Angels, well, whatever they call themselves, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Yeah, that's just too big to put on a hat as far as I'm concerned. But the key to the Yankees is the key in baseball completely. It's about pitching.
They got rid of A.J. Burnett, who led the majors in wild pitches or something
like
that.
But the one thing that A.J. Burnett did do that they haven't replaced yet is he ate up innings. I mean, you know, hey, listen, you can have, with a team like the New York Yankees, mm-hmm. Okay, you can have an ERA of 4.3, 4.4, 4.5, and still win 18 to 20 games. You still have to have somebody out there for 6 or 7 innings every game. You know, you got a 7th inning guy, 8th inning guy, and you got Mariano Rivera. If those guys are all lined up in the bullpen for you, and you're scoring 5 runs a game, do you know what the difference between the last place team in the major leagues and the first place team is in run production?
Tell me.
3.6 to 5. Not one team in the major leagues last year had 5 runs a game. The year before, Cincinnati Reds did. Everybody else was between 3-6, and you know who that was? My San Francisco Giants. They couldn't score a run if you gave them a run. And they still were in it till the end because of what? Pitching. Their pitching is just top-notch. And if the Yankees can just have good pitching, they're going to win by 10 games in the American League East. And I believe that.
I think they replaced A.J. Burnett. They went out and they got Michael Bonetta from...
Oh, he's much better than
Burnett. From Seattle.
Yeah.
He had a better ERA.
Seattle had 4 pitchers that could have played for the Yankees.
His win-loss wasn't very good, but you have to understand he played for Seattle.
Who didn't score many runs last year.
He had 173 strikeouts. Guess who that is exactly the same number as? The guy he just shipped off to Pittsburgh.
Right.
So,
but look at the ERA. It's a run difference. Easily a run difference, right?
374 for Bonetta and a 515 for A.J.
Burnett. It's a joke. So, I mean, when he was he was real bad. But see, they couldn't even pull him out of the game. Well, anytime you have a starter that has an ERA over 5, you know what that tells me? You're stuck with him. They had to do whatever. I mean, he was one of the biggest reasons. If he has a 3.8 ERA last year, they win 7 or 8 more games. That means they lose 7 or 8 fewer games. He was terrible, but he's not the only one that had a bad year for them. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the only one. They've had a lot of disappointments. But I think in their minor leagues right now, the Yankees have the makings of a very good team again. Hey, they're going to lose, think about this, at least 1 or 2 guys every year for the next 5 years from their lineup because of their age and because of injury and stuff like that. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm with Roy G. You can go to sportsmancave.com and read all of Roy's blogs. Roy's becoming a great writer. He's even got somebody checking him out. Roy told me he had an editor or something.
An editor.
He has an editor. And I went, you've got an editor?
Who's in New York?
I said, you know who my editor is? Roy, me. That's why I have so many misspelled words on my blogs.
I do have an editor. His name is Matt Creedon. He lives in Brooklyn.
It's always good to have guys to check your stuff out. Listen, the New York Mets, let's talk about them quickly. You know,
we have to.
Let's not. No, there's a lot of Met fans in our listening area, so let's talk about Terry Collins, your manager. First of all, let's talk about something else. Where's the money going to come from with the Mets? I mean, isn't this the billion that they're being sued about right now? The owner, Wilpont, is being sued for $1 billion in civil court.
Well, I mean,
I think it's civil.
Their best player plays for the Marlins.
Yeah.
Jose Reyes is
gone.
Is no longer a Met.
Well, they got Ruben Tejada, who is 20 years old, right? Mm. And is a great fielder. but he ain't Jose Reyes.
No.
Okay? Jose Reyes is going to have a hell of a lot of fun because he's got some guys down there to have fun with. The Marlins have a very good team.
The Marlins are, they're going to be.
The Marlins have won how many World Series in the last 15 years? Two. They have two rings.
I mean, it was a while ago.
Well, Levon Hernandez.
Rodriguez was young.
Well, so. He wasn't that young. No, because he wasn't that young.
Well, he was younger. He was, yeah, I mean, he's old.
That was
he's
his
really
second,
old.
But that was his second team.
Pretty sure he got MVP the year that they won the World Series.
Well, you can check.
I'm going to.
But I will tell you this. That was when Cabrera, it wasn't that long ago because Miguel Cabrera was their starting third baseman that year. Okay, remember that? Mm-hmm. Hanley Ramirez was their shortstop, I'm pretty sure. Maybe he wasn't. You know, Hanley was with the second team. He was with the second team that won it. Yeah, Hanley Ramirez. You know who he is, right?
He's a shortstop for the Marlins.
He's a stud.
He's one of the best shortstops in the game.
Yes, he is.
But I don't know if he was on that team.
Yes, he was.
I gotta look up that.
Oh, he was. See, you're just too young. 25. Jesus. Unbelievable. I thought you would know all this stuff from just when you were a kid. Let me tell you, somebody else was there. Levon Hernandez was 21 years old when he won his first ring with the Marlins. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that was like 1996 or 1997. The second time they won it was when they brought Pudge back, and he was MVP of the series. They brought Pudge back from somewhere else. And I want to say he was with the Texas Rangers because he's been with the Nationals for how many years now? Four?
This will be his third or fourth. I want to say his third.
I tell you, Pudge, probably as good as he still is, will hook up somewhere. Poor Pudge just had back problems, knee problems, you know, hip problems, everything last year. He couldn't get well. Well, it's been a hell of a show, Roy.
Yeah, that's been fun.
It has been fun. You know what? I got to watch this All-Star game. I got to at least watch the first quarter. And I got to watch the last quarter, too, because I want to see the difference between the defense in the first quarter and the defense in the second quarter.
I don't think there's going to be any defense. So.
Well, probably not much.
I think there's going to be a lot of dunking.
What do you think? The over-under is probably 300 points. Listen, I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G over here. It's been fun today. You've listened to Bruce Hall's second opinion on 106.7 The Fan.
It's not 106.7 The Fan.
I'm sorry.
AM 1230 WFAS.
AM 1230 WFAS.
Nice job, Bruce.
That was good. Love and summer.